Morning, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, text number 9. Yaha Svadharmina Mam Nityam Nirashihi Sadayanvitaha Bhajate Shanakais Tasya Mano Rajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirashi Sradayanvitaha Nirashi Sradayanvitaha Bhajate Shanakaistasya Bhajate Shanakaistasya Manorajan Prasidati
Manorajan Prasidati
Manorajan Prasidati
Manorajan Prasidati
Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam
Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam
Nirashi Sradayanvitaha Bhajate Shanakaistasya Manorajan Prasidati Yasvadharmena Mam Nityam Nirasi Sradayanvitaha Bhajate Shanakaistasya Manorajan Prasidati Yaha, anyone who, Swadharmena, by his occupational duties, Mam, me, Nityam, regularly, Nirashihi, without any motive, Shraddhaya,
with faith and devotion,
Anvitaha, endowed, Bhajate, worships, Shanakai,
gradually,
Tasya,
his,
Manaha, mine,
Rajan,
O King Prithu, Prasidati,
becomes fully satisfied.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued, My dear King Prithu, when one situated in his occupational duty engages in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within. Responsively, please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued.
Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued.
My dear King Prithu,
My dear King Prithu,
when one in his occupational duty,
engages in my loving service,
without motive for material gain,
he gradually becomes very satisfied within.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is also confirmed by the Vishnu Purana. Occupational duties are known as Varnashram Dharma and apply to the four divisions of material and spiritual life, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. and brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa. If one works according to the varnashram dharma system and does not desire fruit of results, he gets satisfaction gradually. Discharging one's occupational duty as a means of rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. Bhagavad Gita confirms this as the process of karma yoga. In other words, we should act only for the satisfaction and service of the Lord. Otherwise, we will be entangled by the material, by the resultant actions. So, this is always a very interesting portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in my estimation, because we have a situation where at one point the kingdom was in need of a ruler, and King Vena appeared to fulfill the post, although he was unqualified in so many ways. But, as the saying goes, a blind uncle is better than no uncle, or Prabhupada used to quote a Bengali proverb that the king is good for the people and the people are good for the king, but the king is better. In other words, it is very, very important in every respect that every community has a leader. Even if you have a committee, you have to have a leader of the committee. Things don't just go forward automatically. There are always people behind them. So Vena did not work out properly, although he did perform some functions. He rid the community of, or the kingdom of, dacoity and anarchy. He created a little bit of order out of chaos, but his motive was bad, and therefore he was removed by the will of providence, by the will of the brahmanas. He was removed. And those same brahmanas saw that it was absolutely necessary to have another leader, so they inspired or produced, or Lord Prithu, King Prithu, who was accepted as a Shakti Avesh, he appeared on the scene. And he was instructed by Lord Vishnu, and these instructions are, of course, sublime. Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us so many instructions in the form of dialogues between the Lord and his devotee, or an exalted devotee and another devotee or group of devotees. For example, at the passing away of Bhishma Dev, he gave so many valuable instructions to Yudhisthira, to the assembled Vaishnavas, kings, and to ultimately to us. Here also, so many nice instructions are given. So, this subject, of course, is discussed very often, Varnashram Dharma, and it is certainly a God-revealed, a God-given system of management. We see in corporate management, there are always so many books coming out, some of them even relating to various historical personalities, like there's a book on Attila the Hun, eulogizing his good qualities in management. And there are a myriad of different literatures trying to find out the best system of administration. Of course, that is not ahoituki, that is not without motive, nirashihi, without any motive. But Varnashram Dharma is a perfect system, and it is meant Varnashrama Charvata Purushena Parapunam Puman Vishnur Aradite Panta Nanya Tatto Shakaranam. It is meant for the purpose of ultimately coming to the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna. So it's nice here that Lord Vishnu is instructing Prithu on the intricacies of Varnashram Dharma. But even behind Varnashram, there is a principle. This is sometimes called Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha and Agraha, the long A and the short A. So, Niyamagraha, following the rules and regulations nicely, but not understanding the principle behind them. And therefore, the tendency is to go off the track. When you follow something blindly, the road is not exactly straight and narrow. There are many curves, many obstacles, and especially in this material world, you have to be expert at coming back on the path. Even if you get knocked off it, you have to come right back, because you may not win all the battles. You do want to win the war. So you have to know how to regroup your army. You have to know how to get back to your original formation. You have to maintain discipline. But if you don't know the principle, then you may get distracted. So ultimately, the goal of all systems of management, leadership, etc., is to come to the point of worship of Vishnu or Krishna. This was nicely discussed between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, because Ramananda Roy initially told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the ultimate activity is to engage in Varnashram Dharma, but Lord Chaitanya not exactly rejected it, although sometimes that word is used. It's not wrong, Varnashram Dharma is correct, but you can go deeper. There's more than just Varnashram Dharma. And of course, there are different kinds of Varnashram. There's Daivi Varnashram and there's Asuri Varnashram. So one has to know, one has to use his intelligence. There's no automatic pilot here. We've got these instructions, but there's a need to apply ourselves, apply our intelligence at every point, at every stage, because we have to make qualified decisions regarding kala, desha, and patra, time, place, and circumstance. So, another point made here is about the necessity to renounce the desire for one's personal sense gratification. Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavratam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. The uttam bhakta, the topmost bhakta, is one who renounces the fruits of his work, is one who gives up the false sense of bodily identification, the false ego. He understands himself to be simply a menial servant of Krishna, dasa, dasa, anu, das. This is so important for us to try to see with this vision that I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, and there's no service too menial for me to do. I can do whatever is required in my personal intercourse or exchange with Srila Prabhupada. I appreciated most his instructions, do the needful. He often gave instructions without details. Although he could have given details, practical details, but he left it up to us to use our intelligence how to achieve the result, and he would reply when asked, do the needful. Of course, if you did the wrong needful, then he could correct you also. Renunciation is almost a misnomer in one sense, although Kunti Devi does tell us that one who wants to achieve complete realization has to give up the desire for lab, puja, and pratishta. One has to give up the desire for janma, aishwarya, srutha, sribir. Has to become a kinchana, niskinchana. But Prabhupada, one of my favorite examples, and it's particularly graphic in Bombay, because they're the only big bank for a long time before India's banking system became much more liberal. The only big bank, American bank, was the Bank of America. So Prabhupada used to say, what is the use in your walking through the Bank of America and saying, I renounce all of this? You don't own any of it. How can you renounce the Bank of America if you don't own one paisa? So, in one sense, we don't own anything, so our renunciation is for our benefit, just to confirm that we don't own anything. We use everything in the service of the Lord. And this is the only thing that will actually satisfy us. Our modern civilization is on the track of producing so many consumer goods and then trying to enjoy the fruits themselves. And of course, their ideas that more is better. And invariably, we see that people burn out and they're very unhappy, very dissatisfied. And it's that a Vaishnava feels sorry for such people, knowing that it is simply a lack of intelligence, a lack of knowledge, of knowing how to achieve Atma prasidati, ahoitukiya pratyata yayatma suprasidati. When one acts for the satisfaction of the Lord without motivation, fixed, without interruption, then he can achieve real satisfaction. And particularly here, apratyata, uninterrupted. Devotional service has to be performed with enthusiasm. And every new devotee manifests that enthusiasm because having just come from the fire of material existence, from the ocean of material misery, getting a little relief is such a source of enthusiasm that initially there is what is sometimes called shadow attachment and a lot of enthusiasm. But sometimes, or perhaps all too often, devotees who are not prepared meet adversity. And because of that adversity, their enthusiasm is disrupted. Their enthusiasm wanes. And they lose their faith. Here it is mentioned the importance of faith. So, utsahan nischay, nischay means one has to perform his devotional service with determination. Not only utsa, not only enthusiasm, but with determination to succeed despite all obstacles. You have to become obstinate. Despite the obstacles, you have to become dog-like obstinate, that I will give this life to Krishna. And of course, a little renunciation helps here. In other words, understanding that I'm not the body. Although it seems like a simple thing to understand, but to realize it and practice it, to transcend the bodily attachment, comes into play when you're faced with a situation where you literally have to say that I am going forward, nothing is going to affect my devotional service, and if I lose my body, or if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter because I've got another body in the next life. And Prabhupada used to say, just give this one life for Krishna. Then if you don't like, you can do something else. You know, as if, you know, as a matter of course, you get so many bodies, so just give one for Krishna. Next life you can become a millionaire and have a big boat and whatever. So patience. One has to be patient. Utsahan nischaya daryat. One has to await the mercy of Radharani. Then your ahaituki apratyata, your perseverance will manifest itself in deep satisfaction, a feeling that, a real feeling that you have transcended the miseries of material existence, that nothing can touch you as Her Grace, Eleanor Roosevelt said, that nothing can hurt you unless you allow it to do so. It's true, actually. Nothing can hurt you. Because, of course, what she didn't understand was that we're not the body, we are spirit soul. So even death is nothing to us. It's just the changing of a shirt or coat. Everyone is situated in his occupational duty, but the purpose of material occupations should not be for material gain. Rather, everyone should offer the results of his occupational activities. A brahmana especially should execute his occupational duties not for material gain, but to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra should work in a similar way. In this material world, everyone is engaged in various professional and occupational duties, but the purpose of such activities should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service is very simple, and anyone can adopt it. Let one remain what he is. He need only install the deity of the Supreme Lord in his house. The deity may be Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayana. There are many other forms of the Lord. In this way, a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra can worship the deity with the results of his honest labor. Regardless of one's occupational duty, one should adopt the devotional means of hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, offering everything to the Lord, and engaging in his service. In this way, one can very easily engage himself in the service of the Lord. When the Lord is pleased with one's service, one's mission in life is fulfilled. So this is a general description of how anyone can practically come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And of course, we see that Prabhupada is saying one can install the deity of Lakshmi Narayana, or there are other incarnations of Vishnu that one may install. And this is, of course, obviously quite correct, but if someone wants to participate in the Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and receive mercy coming down through parampara, then we have made everything very simple. Let there be one deity, Radha Krishna. Let there be one scripture, one mantra. Everything simple. And of course we focus upon Nama Yajna, Japa Yajna. So anyone can do this, but if they want be a Prabhupada Nuga, then they have to follow the path chalked out by our acharyas, Mahajano Yenagata, Shapantaha, the path followed by the Mahajanas. This is also there in Sri Sampradaya. They worship Lakshmi Narayana, and even in Madhva Sampradaya they worship Krishna without any emphasis on Radharani. And Nimbarka, Vishnu Swami, little different approach. The goal again is to please our Supreme Master, and this is a subject which needs to be explained to people in a very broad way, or it needs to be emphasized that God is a person. And it's not actually hard to understand if people have any inclination towards philosophy. Then they should appreciate that the Absolute Truth is a person, because even the best-looking philosophers from India, you know, Prabhupada said they emphasize Chaitanya's path, but they're more interested in Shankara's math. In other words, singing, dancing, chanting, but ultimately Shankara's math, mathematics, is that it's all one. And that's not Chaitanya's math. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, taught us a chintya beda bed tattva along the lines of the Vaishnava acharyas, that two, Atma and Paramatma. So people need to understand how God is a person and how it's perfectly logical, perfectly reasonable. There are a few very easy to understand verses in two of our basic texts. First, Ishopanishad, the Om Purnam verse, God is perfect and complete. So He, being the origin, He can't be less than the creation, so He must have personal existence, personal energy also, and within our experience, personal energy predominates over impersonal energy. You will find that Mayavadis will acknowledge that God is a person, but that He's subordinate to the ultimate Akshar Brahma. Even there's one Gujarati Sampradaya. Their founder was a Vaishnav, not exactly in Sampradaya, but he was definitely a personalist by all reports. But his followers have evolved into impersonalists, and they put him in the center. So they came to see Prabhupada once in Bombay, and they were trying to argue that their guru was actually God. And one of their arguments was that you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so why can't we worship our Mahaprabhu? And Prabhupada said, yes, but we put Radha Krishna in the center. So even those that look like Vaishnavas, but very few actually are in the strictest sense, Vaishnava. So we have to make sure that we're sticking to the path very strictly without getting deviated. Unfortunately, we see when there is no distinct leadership that anarchy also gives vent to people going on different tangents and concocting different deviant philosophies, and it's painful to see that, especially given the labor that Prabhupada put into producing these books, where he very clearly, in his purports, he very clearly, over and over again, stresses. And, you know, everybody loves to quote William Blake? What was his name? Willie Blake. Both read the scripture day and night, but I read black and you read white. But it's, you know, if you read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very hard to screw out a deviant philosophy unless you're, you know, very determined to do it. And some are, but Prabhupada over and over again emphasizes certain things. So we can become successful by serving the Vaishnavas and by serving Lord Krishna without any motivation. And Radharani will be attracted and will become successful. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikilasvapi avastashu jivan mukta sa uchate. It is possible to become liberated in this lifetime if you just apply yourself and do so in a determined spirit, being patient. Okay, well, today is Thanksgiving, so... Thanksgiving. I remember once I went to my parents' house for Thanksgiving, not so many years ago, 15 years ago or something. And, you know, all the family members had gathered there. You know. There was my mother, divorced. Her sister was there, she was divorced. My sister was there, she was divorced. My brother was living with a divorced woman. And my, you know, it was crazy, it was mad. God can give you everything, but you should know what to ask Him for. If you just ask Him for material benefits, then He'll give, but then you're on your own how to deal with it. If you ask Him for knowledge, if you ask Him for devotion, then He will personally guide you. But if you ask Him for the wrong thing, think, you know, thanks for giving. Well, good luck. So, are there any questions or comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.